At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midway point between the Scottish Cup drama and the return of the Premiership. International teams are starting to plan for next week as well, with no place for Reo Hitati and Kyogo in the Japan squad. Nicholas Raskin hopes his off-field friendship with Todd Cantwell can benefit Rangers on the field, and Stevie Clark says he's gone for loyalty and continuity in his latest Scotland squad. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley.
Gordon, I'm going to take us somewhere into the Scottish Cup. Falkirk VAR, went to watch the game. What a fantastic advert that was for Scottish football. I know we're normally speaking about the big clubs or the teams in the top leagues, but I thought that was absolutely brilliant. The atmosphere was fantastic as well. Two teams really going at it, both being believing they can win the game, and obviously Falkirk coming out on top. Now they have Inverness in the semi-final. You know, what a day that would be for both sets of fans, and both teams will think they can get to the final now.
You play Falkirk at the weekend as well. Obviously, that's why you were at
the
game.
That's why I was there.
Ever a professional, but yeah, it's a great opportunity. The draw has served up an incredible chance for Falkirk and Inverness to get to the final. I think everybody out with that would have been looking at a Rangers-Celtic final, but it's a great chance for one of these small teams. I watched Inverness the other night as well against Kilmarnock. They deserve to win as well, so everything to play for.
Come on then, give us a call, 0141 951 1025. What is on your mind tonight? Maybe a bit more of a blank canvas, because yes, the Scottish Cup games are starting to move further into that rear view mirror, even though you might not be over the Scottish Cup draw yet. Very, very busy on the phones last night. If you didn't get through, give us a call again and we'll try our best to get you on as you were trying to react to that semi-final draw. There was a bit of discussion, bit of debate about Steve Clark's Scotland side, but I know some of you prefer to keep that until a bit closer to the time, International Week next week. So if there's anything else out there, something you've been waiting to get off your chest, this could be the chance to do it. 0141 951 1025. And don't forget, all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're giving away tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. And it's particularly poignant tonight because we've actually got the two unfunniest pundits that we could think of to mark the occasion. The festival actually kicks off tonight and it runs until the 2nd of April. And it's very simple. All you need to do is call up here, make a point to the panel about football or whatever you like, but try and keep it about football, and you go into the hat for the ticket. So it's a different show we're doing every night. Tonight's is going to be to see Mark Steele at the Garage in Glasgow on Wednesday the 29th. And perhaps this is even equally as exciting for you, we're going to throw in dinner for two at Glasgow as well in the Merchant City. So you get a bit of grub on us as well. You can enter via the website as well if you head to Clyde1.com. But why not kill two birds with one stone, as the saying goes? You come on here, you put your point across to Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly, who are actually very funny, I'm just kidding, and you go into the hat for that pair of tickets to the Comedy Festival as well. 0141 951 1025. Speaking of comedy, I heard you got sent off at the weekend.
Yeah,
I was worried about you. So Simon, you missed this.
It's taken them 5 minutes to bring it up.
You were off on your holidays last week.
Some, again.
And what I mean, have you ever heard the likes? Some old boys Crocs game of football in Dubai.
The
biggest stitch up I've ever heard in my life. Right,
80 minutes in the searing heat.
Absolute nonsense. Anyway, he was away, and Jim Duffy was here with Marvin Bartley. They then went head to head in League One on the Saturday, and I know what they're both like. They're both passionate men. I was worried, but they kept it friendly. But you must have directed your frustrations elsewhere. You got sent off, you got sent packing.
Yeah, I did at the end of the game, Gordon. You know, I went to shake hands with the assistant referee, as I always do, and, you know, opposition players and the referee as well. And I just said, you know, the player using his shoulder isn't a handball. It's a shocker of a decision, and he decided to send me off the football pitch.
I think that's how he worded it.
I believe every word he says. He's showed me the incident as well, and I think it's very hard. I think the boy has used his shoulder.
And you and Jim Duffy, did you get an okay after?
Oh, brilliant. Jim got me some tickets as well. I had some friends and Ailey coming to watch as well.
Brilliant. What a guy.
Big Jim sorted me out. He was ever the gentleman before and after the game, and I wish them all the best for the rest of the season.
Yeah, the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Derby. I loved it. And one, do you know what? It was like, you know that, like a parent when you can't choose between your children. I was delighted to see it was a draw. I thought, good.
I wasn't.
I know you wouldn't, and neither would he have been either. But I thought, we don't need to pick sides here. They share the spoils, and off they go. Anyway, 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. So get in touch, and don't forget, every caller who makes it on air goes into the hat for the tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival as well. So please do pick up that phone and get in touch. It's an interesting point in the week, Simon, like we said, because we're right in that midpoint. What a weekend it was in the Scottish Cup, and Scottish football never stands still. We go straight back with a bang to a 6-game Saturday in the Premiership. I'm not sure we declare it the business end of the season yet, as the phrase goes, but we can't be far off it.
Can't be far off it. I covered the Celtic game at the weekend. I thought Celtic were terrific. Watched Rangers beat Raith Rovers on the Sunday as well. So it serves up for two good semi-finals, but it's back to the bread and butter of the league at the weekend, as you say, 6 fixtures, with Rangers starting first this time. You know, they'll be hoping to try and close that gap before Celtic play Hibs at 3 p.m.
Yeah, you're always trying to narrow that gap, as Simon said, and you know, Rangers playing first at this moment in time, you're looking for small chinks in kind of Celtic's armour, and there's not many of them at this moment. So, you know, trying to play first, and like you said, narrowing it down to 6 points, hopefully putting some pressure on Celtic, but they're ever so much a machine, aren't they? And I feel for Hibs going there on Saturday, if I'm honest.
And you've even got, just slightly in the distance, international break coming up, Simon, which through a club lens, if you like, we can always debate the Scotland squad and who's in it and who's not. Were you surprised today to see that Hitati and Kyogo have been overlooked for the Japan squad, given how good they've been?
Yeah, I was, to be honest. And I know the manager came out and made a comment, whatever the translation was, about our league, but you know, when I've watched Celtic more often than not this season, the levels those two have played at, there's not much better in our league. And to think that their compatriot Maeda went to the World Cup, I think they're playing on the same level as him, if not higher. So it was a wee bit of a surprise. From a Celtic point of view, I don't think they'll be overly fussed. You know, it's less games, keeps them fresher. But in a personal point of view, for the guys, I'd imagine they would be disappointed.
Well, maybe there's one for you on the phone lines tonight. What do you make of that? Like Simon says, are you bothered? Is that all right with you Celtic fans? Because you think, well, that's fine, just keep them fresh for us. Or do you think of the bigger picture and think, well, you know, this would boost their profile, it might even make them better players if they broaden their horizons? So let us know. 01419511025. We'll get to that in a bit more detail, I am sure. Let's hear from James, who's on the line. How are you, James?
I'm good, Gordon, thank you very much.
Good man. What's your point? Yeah, can't complain, cannot complain at all. What's your point tonight?
Oh, you can always complain. I'm just going on about the Scotland squad and Steve Clark having I feel really he's having a go at Celtic. He's left a few players out. He's included Callum McGregor. You can never leave Callum McGregor out of any squad. But he's left out players like, you know, Taylor, Ralston. I know Forrest has been injured. I know Turnbull's just back for the end of the night. Well, he's not back then. He's not getting a game. But he's got players in that squad. He's got Patterson in, who plays with Everton. And Everton isn't exactly setting the heather on fire down in England. And he can hardly get a game for them. And yet he puts him in the squad, you know. So I think it's Steve Clark's job as a professional manager to pick the best squad available. And he hasn't done that.
I mean, Nathan Patterson's been injured, and you've partly talked us out of some of those Celtic names, James, because you mentioned that, you know, they've not been playing. Who from Celtic that's not been called up do you think really should be in that squad?
Well, I think Taylor should be in it for a start. You know, I think Taylor's playing out his skin now. He's playing great. I mean, and what's his name? Tierney's, he's hardly getting a game. He's only in for cup games with Arsenal.
Yeah, there does seem to be an issue with Greg Taylor, because he specifically said, Steve Clark, he said it's a Celtic thing, you know, I'll let them explain. So that sounds like
he would have called Greg Taylor up, whether it's an injury or whatever. I don't know if Ange Postecoglou can clear it up over the coming days. And also, I mean, he's shown that he likes Greg Taylor. I don't think there's anything. And he's shown, he's called David Turnbull up loads. David Turnbull is playing next to no football now. You know, he was coming off the bench for a while, but now Iwata just seems to have jumped him in that pecking order.
Yeah.
I mean, fair enough, James points out, well, Nathan Patterson's not played a lot, but neither's Anthony Ralston until recently. Patterson's coming back. And again, look, Kieran Tierney might not be playing a lot of football.
It's Kieran Tierney. Yeah, exactly. I think there's, you know, obviously he's addressed the Greg Taylor one, and if he hadn't done that, then there would have been an argument for it. But I think, you know, James has kind of covered his own answers in terms of, you know, Turnbull's not playing. Ralston, I think, played 11 games this season, not started for a while. Obviously started the other day for the first time in a while. And Nathan Patterson actually played more football for Everton than Ralston's done for Celtic this season. So, you know, I can see why he's doing it. I think when Patterson was playing, he was doing really, really well before the injury. Obviously, Coleman's came back in now.
But he was good for Scotland as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. You know, I actually saw Donald at the gym, and he was speaking about Scotland and when he was playing, and a lot of people were saying, you know, why was he playing? But he never let Scotland down, you know, and that was his thing. He was, whenever I was chosen to play, I was doing extremely well. So, you know, Patterson has done well for Scotland, and we know Steve Clarke likes keeping the same sort of squad together.
Yeah, I mean, look, Greg Taylor seems to be a specific reason. So yeah, I think other than that, is there much in there in terms of Celtic omissions?
Not really. As I said, or you pointed out there, Turnbull's not had a lot of game time. Ralston, I was at the game last week. I think when Ralston got his chance for Scotland, he was playing regular. His form was really good. I think he came in and scored for Scotland.
Yeah.
He's been out the picture through injury. Johnson's came in and nailed that right back position down. James Forrest missed the final, wasn't even in the squad through injury. And I think the Taylor thing will come out in the wash. They missed a game last weekend. Maybe there's something there that they feel, if he's not going to go away and play, he's better off staying at the club. We don't know. We aren't at liberty to find those details out at the moment. But yeah, there's always reasons for picking a squad. As I say, Patterson, I was impressed with Patterson when he plays with Scotland. And it's just one of these things. I don't think it's anything about not favouring the boys. I think there's different circumstances there that's dictated them not to pick them.
Mm. Well, let's hear from Stevie Clarke. It's a bit of a brief clip here, but you know, there is a lot of familiarity with that squad. And maybe, as James says, and I think the next caller's about to pick up on, there are guys who not had as much game time recently.
There's one or two in the squad that maybe I've been a little bit loyal to bring them in and keep them involved in it. And I think that's important, because the ones that I'm speaking about will be a big part of the Scotland squad moving forward, I hope. So it's just about getting the balance right and making sure that the boys that are here are fit and ready to go.
You get that, Marvin? Does that make sense? There's certain days in your calendar you circle and know that people will have a bit of a whinge, and Scotland squad selection day is one of them, because you can always foresee the arguments. Oh, he's not playing, why is he still in the squad? You know, this guy's in good form. But if it's been abundantly clear for a long, long time now that Stevie Clarke is trying to build something that is continuity and consistency. Now, whether that's right or wrong, he'll eventually be the one that has to pay the price if results aren't going well. But it's so clear that he's not just going to chop and change. We should be used to it by now.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he's spoken about building a mentality as almost like club football, so having the right sort of characters as well as the right sort of players. So, you know, maybe Patterson fits into that. I'm not saying that Ralston doesn't, but obviously, you know, if he fits into the group and the dynamics and stuff. And, you know, as fans, what we see is, you know, when a team are playing on a Saturday, whatever day they're playing, and we see that kind of end result, but we don't see the things that are going on in the background. And I can tell you, you know, culture and having the right sort of professionals in and around your football club or your international team are so, so important. You know, not just this, how good they are as players. And, you know, Steve Clarke, as I said, has spoken about that. I think that's why Scotland have done as well as they have, because they have a real good group and a real strong core of players that, you know, really will go out there and work really hard for each other.
Thank you to James. James, you're in the hat for the tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. So thanks for taking part in the show tonight. Roland is on the line from Bridge of Weir. Roland, what's your thoughts for the guys tonight?
Yeah, funnily enough, I was just on the conversation you're having there about the Scotland squad.
Mm-hmm.
My worry is the amount of players in the squad that aren't playing regular football, never mind missing out the kind of decent Celtic players. There is quite a lot, if you look through it, especially midfielders and stuff, that aren't getting regular games. Do you not think this is going to be detrimental to the results going forward?
I must admit, I totally get where Roland's coming from. just based on the comparisons to previous Scotland squads, if you like, right? Because it's the same guys, as we know. We've just spoken about that consistency, continuity. But as we touched on with some there, Kieran Tierney's no longer playing football. There was a time when he was playing all the time, and he'd be a mainstay for Scotland. I'm sure he still will be, but he's not playing anymore. Scott McTominay's not really featuring for Man United the way that he used to. I don't think Ryan Christie's starting many games for Bournemouth. Billy Gilmore is playing next to no football. So it's the same guys, which is fine, but it's like their circumstances have changed from some of the previous squads, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, who do you replace these players with? Well, you know, but, yeah, almost creating a problem, not coming up with a solution. Kieran Tierney, for me, you know, if he'd been injured and then he becomes fit, people want him in the squad. Yes, he's not played a lot of football.
Playing for Scotland all day long, isn't he?
That's what I mean.
It's not a huge drama.
Exactly, he really has to. And at this moment in time, he has Zinchenko ahead of him at the team who's top of the Premier League. So it just happens that he's not playing that much. Again, Scott McTominay's of that age, and if he wants to build something going forward, he fits into that. Billy Gilmore, you know, we know what he can do. We've seen him, you know, put a Scotland shirt on, sorry, and be absolutely fantastic. You know, a ball-playing centre midfielder. Ryan Christie, obviously, he trusts. Yes, he is at Bournemouth. He's not playing that much football. But, I mean, who do we replace these players with? You know, Ryan Christie maybe is the only one that people can have an argument with because Bournemouth aren't doing that well in the league, etc. But he's a fantastic player. And again, pulls on the Scotland squad and he's fantastic.
What do you make of that, Roland? You know, what is the solution then? You're absolutely right. A lot of these guys aren't playing, but is it enough for them to then not be part of the squad and be replaced by who?
I mean, that's down to obviously Mr. Clark. I mean, that is the problem. Please, my, I mean, I'm an ex-footballer myself, maybe not to level guys, but I know myself, even no matter what level you play at, if you're bringing guys in who are not playing, it takes them a little bit of speed. If you've got a full midfielder, I mean, that full midfield, apart from probably Callum McGregor, none of them are playing regularly. That's a big ask when you're going to get like say your Spains or whatever you're playing, you know, to get them to a coherent level in a competitive match, you know. Yeah. Who they bring in, I don't know. I don't know what they do, but we need to get our top guys playing every week. That's really what we need, you know.
I think Roland is partly right, Simon, clearly, because it could be an issue, but John McGinn's playing regularly, Callum McGregor playing regularly, Lewis Ferguson's in the squad playing regularly for Bologna. It's clearly not ideal, but there are also loads of examples of guys, aren't there, over the years who, just because you're out of favour at your club doesn't mean you're then not good enough to play for your country. All you need to do is, and I'm stating the obvious here, is just be better than the other Scottish players in your position. And there's been loads of guys that have almost come out of cold storage and done really well at international football.
That's what I think Marv's touching on there. Who's better? Who out there is better than the guys that are in the squad? It's not an ideal situation. Of course you want your players at the top of their game, playing regular football, but for circumstances like Tierney's, he's out of a top-performing Arsenal team. Mm-hmm. Zinchenko's keeping him out. Casemiro's keeping the likes of McTominay out of the Man United team. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't then mean you're not good enough to play.
No, and even the Christie one there as well. Christie hasn't, for me, hasn't let Scotland down. He's had some really good performances for Scotland, so tried and tested a wee bit, but it would be ideal if these guys were playing more regular. They're not, so we have to just deal with it. I don't think there's an automatic replacement of 5, 6, 7 players of that level out there for us to just simply replace them.
Europal Lyndon Dykes, for instance, as well. He's not been playing a lot, but he's started to come back now, maybe at the right, I was going to say the right time, and then I saw that they get beat 6-1 against Blackpool last night, but in terms of game time.
Yeah, he's been unwell. So Lyndon's first game back was actually at the weekend, and he was only meant to play half a game, and I think he got through maybe 55 minutes or so. And then again, he started yesterday, so he's just building his minutes back up. He's been out for probably 5 weeks or so. With the illness, but he feels brilliant now. Again, it's just about match sharpness. But just speaking about players not being in the squad, you know, because not playing a lot of football. Remember Billy Gilmore coming in against England, and how much football had he played? And we saw his performance, you know. So it's just one of those things. I understand it. If Steve Clark would love all of his players to be playing week in, week out, you know, 90 minutes, but that's just not the case. And he has to pick the best team that he possibly
can. Maybe they'll be nice and fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know who we need? I've just discovered, I didn't know this, that producer Ross must be the most optimistic glass half full guy in the world. He just buzzed in my ear and said, Lyndon Dykes got an assist last night.
There you go.
I wonder how that makes him feel in a 6-1 defeat.
There you go.
Done his job.
Yeah, exactly.
His bit's dry.
It's all about the stats.
01419511025. If you want to carry on that theme, you can do. What about with slightly broadening our horizons then. Celtic fans, are you surprised to see Hitati and Kyogo left out of the Japan squad? Does it suit you because you'd actually selfishly rather they were just kept fresh? Or the bigger picture, would you rather them get that experience and build their profile and all that stuff? Why not let us know right now and we'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here at 0141 951 1025. Every caller who makes it onto the show goes into the hat for some tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We're doing it every night this week. It's a different show every night. Tonight it's Mark Steele at the Garage, and you get dinner for two at Glasshue chucked in there as well. So a good wee incentive for you to pick up the phone. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure you're all chomping at the bit, absolutely desperate beside yourselves actually, to speak to Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly tonight. So please do get in touch. Paul is a Celtic fan, he's from Cumbernauld. What is your point tonight, Paul?
I've got a Japanese squad, Kyogo and Hitati missing. Marvin, Simon and Gordon, sorry.
No, let's, Paul, honestly, I always say this, I said it last night and I'll repeat it, even I don't care how Simon and Marvin are doing generally, so just fire in with your point. Do not worry about being polite, I genuinely mean that.
I was going to say Martin, a.k.a. Martin.
The big guy.
Hitati, he just keeps running a guy. How are you going to get a game for Japan? I don't know. We've seen a World Cup squad at all, wasn't he picked? I think Kyogo was picked, but they got injured, didn't he?
I think it was just Maeda that got the nod, certainly. I envisaged some Celtic fans would have opinions on this tonight when I saw this story earlier. So they have been left out of the international squad. Now, these are for friendlies against Colombia and Uruguay. And again, maybe what's even more interesting, it is a much changed squad from the World Cup. So the manager has changed a lot. Daizen Maeda keeps his place. But Kyogo and Hitati have missed out, Simon, at a time when they're in blistering form in the Scottish Premiership. I won't start this argument right now, but for some people you're talking 1 and 2 in the player of the year race, right? But we'll deal with that in a couple of months' time. Maybe what's even more revealing was with the comments from the manager, saying that we think about the level of the league and various other factors when making the decision. So it's like, right, okay, is the Scottish Premiership not good enough for you? Fine if it's your opinion, but you've called it Maeda, who obviously plays here. So what did you make of it?
It's a wee bit confusing, I must admit. I mean, as I say, I cover most of the Celtic games. I think Kyogo, as you used the word blistering there, in terms of his form, I think he gets better and better. I think the understanding with their midfield, I think Ange touched on it last week, there's games I watched where he's making the movement, passes weren't coming, but from playing the game myself, you learn and get a relationship with players the more you play with them. I think that's beginning to click. I think Hitati is, there's nobody better in the league at the moment for me. So that these two guys are really at the top of their form. Now, Maeda went to the World Cup ahead of them. I thought he had a good World Cup, scored a goal. Typical Maeda, worked his socks off, harassing, but these two can do that as well. It is a confusing one. As I say, I don't know. Be interesting to hear Paul's opinion on it. I don't think Celtic fans will be overly concerned in terms of extra games, extra travel at this important stage of the season. But again, speaking from an ex-footballer and your own personal, you do want to try and get as high as you can. You want to get into your country's squad. So it is a confusing one.
What do you think, Paul, then, to Simon's question? Are you selfish? You're allowed to be. Are you selfish and think, well, do you know what, not bothered, this means they'll be rested up for Celtic? Or do you acknowledge that to boost their profile, dare I say it, to get a bigger transfer fee at some point down the line, or to make them better players, they, you know, might be beneficial to go and be part of international football?
Well, Maeda, he's a good player, good energy. Nice, kind of final pass, a final shot, a goal, isn't he? Brilliant. Kyogo is, seems to be fantastic. But Hitati, he's all out of park. He played him at right back, left back. You put him anywhere, and agree 100%. So they must have somebody watching the Scottish game if Dyson Maeda's getting picked for the squad. So why no Kyogo and why no Hitati?
Yeah, I agree with what Paul's saying there, and I'm as confused as Simon. If the translation's correct, I find it disrespectful to the league, if I'm honest. If you want to leave players out of your international squad, then leave them out. I don't think you need to make a slight on the league. The one worry for me is, as Simon said, though, and you are a footballer, and personally, you know, you want to play at the highest possible level. Do these two now look at it and think, well, for me to play for my national team, do I have to go elsewhere? Which would be a great shame for the Scottish game, and an even bigger shame for Celtic Football Club, because they're two fantastic players who, for me, are playing in the Champions League, and they're beating what's in front of them, which is all they can do. So, you know, I hope that's not the case. As you said, you know, Maeda is playing. I know he's a different profile to Kyogo, and he actually plays up front for Japan as well. But how these two aren't in the squad, you know, doesn't make much sense to me.
I mean, it's different. You come at this from different places, Simon, because you've got your Celtic hat on, if you like, but you have also played the game and played internationally. So which part of you is secretly happy that they can stay and be wrapped in cotton wool and won't have to travel?
The part with the Celtic hat on.
But the ex-pro big
games coming.
Still,
the ex-pro, listen, I wanted to play for Scotland. I was fortunate enough to do it a few times.
Because do you acknowledge that, you know, like I said, before anyone gets all upset, I'm not trying to sell Rio Hatate right now, obviously, but it's just modern football. At some point, Celtic may look for that. If you're an international footballer, does it raise your profile?
To sell them?
Just generally, or as
I don't think they'll look to sell them, but I think if they keep
at
it
some
that
point,
form,
I'm talking about.
If Hatate keeps improving at the rate he's improving.
And Marvin's talking about the danger that the players then think, well, what's happening here? Do I need to go elsewhere to get international recognition?
Yeah, well, at this stage, I think Hatate's a wee bit younger than Kyogo. Kyogo's 28. And
maybe Hatate's
and at the weekend,
the
watching
example.
Kyogo scoring the goals in his relationship, yes, there's no guarantee somebody could come in and offer him the world somewhere else in terms of financially, but I think he's very happy where he is. Hatate's a wee bit different. I think if he keeps playing the way he is, eventually it'll be difficult for Celtic to keep a hold of him, because he's getting better and better. Mm-hmm. It's maybe a wee bit premature for them to think, oh, I'm not in this squad, you know, I'm not happy. I don't think that's the case.
I don't think they'll be unhappy, Simon, but if you're in a kind of form of your life and you think, you know, that national squad's coming out, for me, those two players have to be thinking, I'm going to be in it. The form that they're in is breathtaking.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the manager to turn around and say that, if I'm manager,
I'll 26 goals, it doesn't matter. I'm not... Before headlines, I'm not comparing them to Henrik Larsson, but this gets thrown at Henrik when he was, I can only do it here. It's still 26
exactly.
goals. The calibre of the goals, the movement, I watch him every week.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt he could play in that Japan squad.
Of course he could. And it's almost like if they were down in England playing at a Bournemouth, for example, not being disrespectful to them, third from bottom in the league. Oh, it's okay, you're playing in the Premier League and you've got five goals. It doesn't make any sense to me. Players are in form.
What do you think, Paul? Is there you think the players will just... What more can they do, I guess? Take that in the chin, try and get in the next one. You don't think it will put them off too much?
I don't think so. My point of view and all is the G League, I don't know anything about it. Is it a far superior league to the one we're playing in just now? I don't know anything about Japanese football.
That would be the thing, Simon and Marvin. We obviously love the Scottish football and try and talk it up. I don't think we're deluded. I think we know, like, sort of at least roughly where the level is, but there are players in that Japan squad who play in the J League, which I can't imagine is vastly superior to the Scottish Premiership, whilst acknowledging I'm not an expert.
Yeah,
I think there are players in there playing in Germany's second tier. There's players in there sort of lower league clubs and lower down the division in France. There are players in there who are playing in Austria's top league. And it's not, I guess it's the Premiership in Scotland, that's one thing, but those two are getting Champions League experience as well, which other members of the squad won't have.
Exactly, and you know, that's what doesn't make sense to me. They are playing the Champions League, they're top of the league, they're doing everything they possibly can. You know, like you say, people are playing in the Austrian League or, you know, the second division in Germany. Those teams don't beat Celtic, no chance about it. So I really don't get it. And as I said, you know, if that translation is correct, then I think it's extremely disappointing from an international manager.
And to be fair, Simon, like we said, before we have to start defending our level, picked Maeda anyway. So I don't know if we even really need to go that far.
That is the bit. I mean, Maeda, I think Maeda's form since the World Cup has been fantastic. I would argue the other two are better players, but Hatate's obviously a midfielder. But Kyogo for me is the number one striker at Celtic. I know Maeda can play on the side. He is a really good team player. Maybe that's what they see as a member of the squad for Japan. I don't know, can only speculate. But
They're friendlies as well. These are friendlies.
Yeah, experimenting. And I looked at the strikers that have been picked out with him. He's got 26 goals. I think the next guy was 10, 11, 12. You know, so it doesn't matter what league you're, if you're doing it.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because then you start coming up with this impossible comparison, right? Even if you do think the Scottish Premiership is weak, fine, and let you have it, what does 26 goals equate to in a so-called strong league? Do you need more than 4 or 5? Yeah. You know, to...
But you look at his movement and stuff, Gordon. It's not just, you know, listen, if he's scoring these goals and doing absolutely nothing, and, you know, Celtic were just steamrolling teams, yeah, and he's
movement,
his movement's
and
fantastic.
He's finishing.
Exactly. You do that at any level. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah. He's making a movement at any level, and he's getting away from defenders at any level because he's that good. His movement's that good. Atate's the same. A fantastic all-round midfielder. Like, I'm not being funny, but it's actually getting me angry. I don't support Celtic. So,
are you so angry?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to calm down. I saw you in your ref kit. That's what it is, Gordon.
But Paul, ultimately then, short term, big games coming up, just keep them fresh from a club perspective. Is that the way you're looking at it?
Yes. One word.
One word. That's, I guess, yep. I asked for that. A nice closed question, so that I asked for it, because that is it. You look at the run into the league, and there's a certain Scottish Cup semi-final coming up, in case people hadn't noticed.
Yeah, exactly. If you're the manager of them, you know, first and foremost, Andrew will be disappointed for them, because there's no doubt about it, he wants his players to play international football because they deserve it, you know, that kind of personal pride for them. But secondly, he will be like, listen, we keep you fresh, listen, let's hit the rest of this league, let's win the league, and let's win every, you know, trophy that we possibly can.
Be interesting to hear his comments, if he's closed on it.
Yeah,
interesting to see hear his view.
Well, based on your own experience, right, forget all that stuff, even though I was talking about, you know, like profile or whatever, does international football make you a better player? Can they be better players for Celtic if they get international football?
I think so. Aye. Who are they playing, Colombia and Uruguay?
Yeah. Maybe I just mean generally.
I think so. I think the whole experience.
So that's where it's a tough balance then for fans, isn't it? Because we've said it is obvious.
I'm thinking about it there. So me, if I'm the player, I want to go and play with Japan. I think Ange will say he wants them to go and play with Japan, but secretly, being a coach myself once, I think I'd be quite happy that the boys aren't travelling and playing games.
Even if, as you just said, you're of the belief that international football makes them better.
Yeah. I think from a selfish point of view and a thinking about his club,
maybe it's a boost as well, isn't it?
Is that a short-term versus long-term thing then? Is that maybe what it is?
Yeah, it will be. Because, like you said, as a coach, you definitely want to keep those players fit. You don't want them travelling halfway around the world and potentially getting injured, etc. You can control their training loads during the international break, give them some, you know, well-needed probably time off. But I think there's also that personal thing of giving them a boost, you know, because they'll come back absolutely delighted, you know, playing for their country, etc., you know, getting minutes on the pitch.
Hey, look at Moy and Maeda that came back from the World Cup. Yeah. You know, their teams did well at the World Cup, so maybe if they hadn't did so well, they wouldn't have come back in that kind of... Moy get more minutes. He's been a different player on the back of that Australia experience.
So you could say that going to the World Cup with Japan was one of the best things that happened to Dyes and Maeda in a Celtic shirt.
It was the World Cup. It was the World Cup finals. Mm-hmm. These are two... Where are the games?
Now that I am not entirely sure, but they are... we mentioned the opponents, didn't we? It was Colombia and Uruguay. I can't actually remember where they are. I must admit.
Australia and Japan did really well at the World Cup. The feel-good factor, the buzz the players must have got off the back of that. It's been evident for Celtic. It's been a reward for Celtic with those two players in particular.
Thank you, Paul. He goes into the hat, by the way, for the Comedy Festival tickets, just like everyone else who makes a point to the panel tonight. So this would be the perfect opportunity to do so. I mean, you can call at any time of the night, but we're going to get some travel news, so it might be an idea for you to use that time to pick up the phone, and we'll try our very best to get you on next. 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025. That is the number you need. You can tweet us as well. And I keep mentioning it because it's worthwhile. Every caller who comes on air tonight and every night this week into the hat for a pair of tickets to a show at the Comedy Festival. It kicks off tonight, actually. So if anyone's going, have a good night. It runs till the 2nd of April. Tonight we're giving away tickets to Mark Steele at the Garage on Wednesday the 29th, 2 weeks today. And we'll chuck in dinner for you as well. Brian goes into the hat because he's about to join us. Brian, what's your point tonight?
Yes, regarding the debate on Japanese players play for Celtic, not getting into a Japanese team. I'm sick to the producer. This pains me. I'm a Rangers fan, long standing, been supporting the club for over 50 years. I've seen Scottish football for the last 50 years. So I think I know how good the level is of the game. And I know you don't want to hear this, but the level below Rangers and Celtic, for me, is the worst I have ever seen. As I said, it pains me to say it because I would like my club to be playing in a stronger league, but that's where we are at the moment. The two Japanese players, are no doubt they're good players, but the Japanese manager has been criticised because he hasn't picked him. Obviously, he believes they're not playing at a high enough level. I know you're saying that Japanese players are playing the second tier in Germany and also are playing the J-League in Japan. I think the problem here at this moment in time is the perception of this particular Celtic side in the media and obviously Postecoglou as well. He's in front of my club, no doubt about it. They're the best side in this country. But they are putting a huge pedestal, which I don't think they deserve. And I'm talking beyond these shores. That's where you're really tested. Celtic are running all over the top of the clubs in this country. They're definitely the best team in the country. Can't say otherwise. But I think the level in this league is, as I said, the worst I've ever seen.
I think the main contradiction, though, is sort of why does that not apply to Dyes and Maeda, Brian? That's, I think you're perfectly valid. You can, the gap is big. You're allowed to criticise the other teams if you want. But if the league's strong enough that Dyes and Maeda makes it, why is it not strong enough that the other two? I think that's the main thing people are pointing out, the contradiction.
Right, I think it's the game that Maison Dyser plays. I think it's the game he plays. I think his work rate is incredible. And I think he puts pressure on other players on the ball. And I think that must help the team. It certainly helps Celtic when he's playing. So I can only think that he, because of the way that the Japanese team play, he's an integral part of that.
All fair. What do you think? Brian says it's the worst level out with the top two that he's ever seen.
I think, well, he's entitled to his opinion. I think it's quite strong. But I'm in backing him up there. I look at the gap on the league, you know, from Celtic to third place, 34 points. You know, it's a big gap.
Is that because Rangers and Celtic are strong or the rest are particularly bad, though? That's always the difficulty. I'm not saying Brian's right or wrong, by the way, but it's always the difficulty when you talk about gaps.
He thought it was the strongest Celtic squad he'd seen in his time, and I don't know, I would maybe argue that with different squads, Martin O'Neill's squad over the years. It's all different eras. But, you know, for the reason for Hitati and Kyogo not to be considered because of that, I think these guys... Listen, Brian's right. Celtic and Rangers have to go out and do better. Rangers obviously got to the final of the Europa League, but Celtic have to go out and do better in Europe, you know, and gain some more reputation out there. And people out with their league do look down their nose. I experienced it when I went to England myself. They do look down their nose and think, well, or Celtic and Rangers, so it's hard to argue sometimes unless you can go out and do well in Europe.
What about Barisic though, playing for Croatia? They rank 7th or 8th in the world, so you know, the 7th best team in the world, and the Scottish League's good enough for their manager to pick him, and if he's in good form, rightly so. I get you saying that the rest of the league isn't that strong, etc. I don't know how many points Arsenal are ahead of the team in third in their league, but it's probably about 15 or 16 points as well.
Yep.
So, you know, it's easy for us to batter our game and say this, that and the other. But if your team are playing well and you're doing what you need to be doing, then you should be called up for your national team. It's not about the rest of the team. He's not playing for Ross County or something.
You go back to the levels, and I said at the start of the show, I don't think there's anybody at a higher level than Kyogo and Hitati in this league. Now, Maeda, yes, Brian, and I made the point as well, the manager of Japan obviously sees something in Maeda. He's a different type of player. He doesn't really have a trick as a wide player. He presses, he puts pressure, as Brian says, on opponents. Very, very effective. But I think the other two are better players quality-wise. And I think they also work their socks off. I know Maeda does, but these two, I watch them every week. They don't stop. So it's confusing.
What do you think, Brian? What is it that makes you think that the other club's level has dropped, and not just that Celtic and Rangers are getting stronger with Champions League runs and Europa League runs and the more money? How can we ever be sure? But I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just always find it difficult to know, because it, like I say, how, what is it that makes you think that the rest have dropped rather than those two have stretched?
Well, you know, the game's changed. Right? The game is even more possession based. And the most important thing when you're playing at any level is to defend well. Well, none of the teams below Rangers and Celtic can keep the ball at all, and none of them can defend properly. And I think Rangers and Celtic caught up a malaise. It's a difficult one. The finances in the game have also changed, and our league is definitely not financed properly. I think my club, when the Sky deal came in, my club, Rangers, stated that it was a poor deal. And if you look at it in a sort of percentage base compared to England, we're getting a short shrift. We really are. And if it hadn't been for Rangers-Celtic, there wouldn't be anything coming. It pains me. I'm not on here to criticise. I'm just on
here. You're allowed to criticise. You're absolutely allowed to criticise. But here's the thing though, Brian, and this isn't Rangers or Celtic's fault. It's not a criticism. But if more money in general got thrown at this league, it wouldn't close the gap, would it? Because it would all just stay relative. You know, Celtic and Rangers would then just have the same percentage more than they have over the other teams at the moment. And let me repeat, that is not their fault. That's absolutely fine. But that wouldn't close the gap as such, would it? It would maybe make everybody richer overall, but the gap would be the same, no?
I understand what you're saying there, but it would surely make the other teams better. I've said to a lot of my friends, Rangers and Celtic fans, that you will learn nothing playing in that league. You will learn absolutely nothing. It certainly won't prepare you to play, you know, beyond these shores. And that's the other thing, the other really, really frustrating thing is you seem to put this Celtic side in a kind of special base, and they're not. They're not.
Brian, I feel like at the core of your point is you want us to just admit that Celtic aren't as good as people are making out. I don't know what that means. I don't know what pedestal you think. I don't know how we qualify that, but if that's what we want to keep coming back to, fine. Marvin, what did you make of this? Is now not even a place where we can develop players anymore?
Yeah, that's really confusing, because you see people like John McGinn, you see Nathan Patterson, who left Rangers and has done well at Everton. You see Kieran Tierney, obviously he's out of the team at this moment in time at Arsenal, but was linked with Real Madrid only this time last year. You know, to say that this league doesn't develop players, Van Dijk, like, there's so many, you know, there's so many players that have came up here and done well and gone wherever they've gone to perform really, really well. So I think I get what Brian's trying to say, but I disagree with some of the points. But listen, again, he's on to have his opinion, and you know, that is what it is, kind of thing.
I mean, even still,
two or three went to Serie A.
I was going to say, and Juranovic is going to the top end of the Bundesliga. Yeah. So I think Brian was, he had my interest for sure at the start, because I think there are question marks here about the gap between the big two and the rest.
But that's football. That's what happens. Look at Bayern Munich. Look at the gap they've had between teams. Yeah, it's just what happens at times.
I'm not entirely sure if this league doesn't prepare you to go on and play elsewhere. I don't know if that stands up to scrutiny when you can sort of rhyme off.
There's so many players.
All those other names.
That's not true at all. It was all going so well for Brian until then as well.
Well, agree to disagree, Brian. Yeah. But you've given us a lot to chew over, and you're getting the hat for the tickets to the International Comedy Festival as well. And I think the difficulty with this, right, because very quickly you go from why is Rio Hatate and Kyogo not in the Japan squad to the strength of the Scottish Premiership is X, Y or Z, and then it's but it's because of TV deals, no, it's because of grassroots football, no, it's because of, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, the scattergun is just majorly out, and we're looking for that sort of silver bullet that clearly doesn't exist, but we keep trying, no less.
Oh, exactly, all you can do is try.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
This will cheer you up. Beat the pundit time. Let's see how Marvin Bartley or Simon Donnelly fare against you tonight. 0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7, so if you fancy taking them on, give us a call quickly.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We'd love for you to get in touch tonight, so pick up the phone, let us know what you're thinking, and it can be about whatever you want. Obviously, we've had a bit of discussion there. We got in a lively debate about two players who are not in the Japan squad. You know, football's different these days, isn't it? But you can understand people wanting to praise Kyogo, Hitati, wonder why they're not in the squad. What that then leads to is criticisms or question marks about the level of the league, and is there a contradiction there because Maeda's in it, and so on. We had a bit of discussion about the Scotland squad in there as well. So if you want to elaborate on any of that, please do. And if you want to change the topic completely, it's the same number, 0141 951 1025. And don't forget, all you need to do is come on air, make a point to the panel, and you're in the hat for a pair of tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival as well. So let's do this before we go any further.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Do you know what I love about Beat the Pundit is it clearly captures the imagination, because both of you two bounced into the studio tonight to brag that you would have won the tiebreaker last night. You were both listening, you were both taking part at home, and you would have won the tiebreaker.
Yeah, a lot less pressure sitting there watching the TV and having that on the background.
I'm going to do me a favour and don't give me the same headache we had last night. In case you didn't hear it, we went to a tiebreaker, which is, I'm sure you've heard it before, it's like a closest two, if you like. It's always some ridiculous number. And Mark Wilson and the contestant both said the same number, which was a nightmare. It means we had to get another question. So hopefully a bit more straightforward tonight on Beat the Pundit. Ryan is in Falkirk. How's it going, Ryan?
Yeah, well, good, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Who would you rather play out of these two?
Marvin.
Wow.
Definitely.
Big shout.
Definitely as well.
Yeah, he's sitting. He's not.
What's
even
he trying to say?
Exactly. Team, who do you support, Ryan?
Rangers.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd say full club. I thought you'd be on a buzz.
Exactly.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
He's going to be hurling abuse at you at the weekend. Where is that game?
It's at our place.
Oh, it's at your place.
Don't want to mess with our ultras, mate.
Oh, I can imagine. Dumfries is a wild place to be. Right, let's toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Simon Donnelly. If it's tails, it will be the battle that Ryan wants. The only thing, Ryan maybe hasn't listened to this in a while, because if he loses to Marvin, he's in for a world of pain. Because Marvin will be not taking that well. And it is tails as well. It's Marvin against Ryan. There you are, Ryan. You got your wish.
Oh, I'm buzzing, mate. Can't wait.
Good luck, pal.
I like the sound of this guy. Let's give Marvin some Clyde 2 to listen to. And I'll set the clock up, Ryan. It's pretty straightforward. Just answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that's fine by me, okay?
Perfect, mate. Cheers.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who did Rangers play in last season's Scottish Cup final?
Hearts.
How many Celtic players were named in the Japan squad today?
One.
Who scored a hat-trick for Hibs against Aberdeen earlier this season?
Kevin Nisbet.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Scott McKenna or Scott McTominay?
McKenna.
Which current Scottish Championship team has Joel Nubley played for? Which team did Erling Haaland score 5 against last night?
Red Bull Leipzig.
How many Scottish clubs has Kenny McLean played for?
2.
Which SPFL side play their home games at the Balmoral Stadium?
Peterhead.
Okay, let's bring back Marvin. You ready?
Yeah.
He was quick. Tell you that much.
Was he right though?
You'll have to wait and find out, won't you?
Let's go.
When was the last time you played? I feel like you've not, maybe. Was Dougie Emery? Was that the last one?
Yeah. Nah, I beat someone else from Dougie the
Emery.
Same neck of the woods.
So you did.
Yeah. Because I've got them both on my mantelpiece now.
You ready?
Yep, right, Ryan's going to add to it. Let's go.
Who did Rangers play in last season's Scottish Cup final?
Hearts.
How many Celtic players were named in the Japan squad today?
1.
Who scored a hat-trick for Hibs against Aberdeen earlier this season?
Nisbet.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Scott McKenna or Scott McTominay?
McTominay.
Which current Scottish Championship team has Joel Nubley played for?
Arbroath.
Which team did Erling Haaland score 5 against last night?
Leipzig.
How many Scottish clubs has Kenny McLean played for?
3.
Which SPFL side play their home games at the Balmoral Stadium?
Hearts. No, give me one more because... No, wait. I want one more. Do you know why? Because when you said about the Japan squad, you went... Which wasted about 3 seconds. I want another question. We can play that back on the podcast.
I don't honestly have the words to explain how little chance there is of you getting an extra question for that. You think I exhaled for 3 seconds?
No, you went. Well, there's a horse in the studio, man. Do I get another question?
No.
Wow. Since producer Callum's left as well, I see you've gone from a 2p to a 50p.
Yeah, I've gone up in the world. Someone gave it to Roger Hanna in the pub.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I bet they gave him a pound and he spent 50p and bought that one. That's what he's done.
And apparently the person who gave him it has been at home counting how often it's been heads and how often it's been tails. So we've got some stats.
Hugh Keevans gave it to him. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what we've learned tonight is that Marvin Bartley has got no concept of time, which is something that we knew already. So,
well, I'm going to get my stopwatch out tomorrow.
If you think that was 3 seconds,
do you know what? But if you start the next question, then I get it. So even if it's 1 second, it's 1 second too much, Gordon.
I can just imagine. You said that was 15 minutes. Well, actually, I think you'll find it was 3, Marvin. 0-4-1-9-5-1-1-2-5. Let's move on.
A fantastic start.
Right. Let's find out Ryan's feeling on it. Ryan, what do you think? You done enough?
I think it's quite tight, if I'm honest with you, but I don't know.
Similar, right? You both knew that Hearts were the runners-up in the Scottish Cup. You both knew that there was one Japan player in the squad. Mr. Hibbs over there, Aberdeen, not Motherwell. It was Josh Campbell, not Kevin Nisbet. You both said Kevin Nisbet. Remember? El Sakio, they were calling the game.
Right, okay.
That's ridiculous, Marvin.
It is indeed. Who's got more Scotland caps, Scott McKenna or Scott McTominay? It is McTominay, Ryan, I'm afraid to tell you. He went McKenna. There's 9 or so in it? Yeah,
he got it wrong.
This was the one I huffed at, actually. It wasn't the Japan one. It was the fact that Joel Nubley, you were the Livy assistant when you loaned him out to Arbroath.
But you still went.
You could barely get it wrong. You managed to get it. So you stretched his lead to 2.
Hang on, did Ryan get that one right?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He said air.
Lucky Ryan.
It's all over.
Both knew Leipzig.
Yeah.
And
still 2 behind.
Name me Kenny McLean's professional clubs.
What do you mean? Aberdeen.
You said 3, so I'm just curious.
St Mirren,
yeah.
I just want to prove that you guessed.
And what professional clubs in Scotland is? And the third one, obviously, I knew
exactly.
Had 3.
A complete guess. And
so was I right all wrong?
You were right, unbelievably, because he had a loan spell at Arbroath. I mean,
wow. What? Did Ryan not know that?
I did not.
Football knowledge 0, Ryan.
I wouldn't have known that. I must admit, no chance. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Marvin. And
doesn't matter what Ryan got.
3, I think, was it?
3? Oh, that's not bad to be fair.
None of you got Cove Rangers play at the Balmoral Stadium.
Oh, so 6-3 still. Give it to Ryan, 6-4. Unlucky,
Ryan.
Cheers, mate. I appreciate it. I'm still waiting my signed ball last year, by the way. But I'll wait again.
Hold on.
Don't worry.
You've won before.
Aye.
Against Simon.
Against who?
I was against DL, so it doesn't really count.
Against Gordon DL. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't get. Then genuinely, do you not have your signed ball? Producer Callum's disappeared and left a backlog.
We need to send Ryan a ball. That's unfair.
Speak to the producers and try and get that sorted out.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm going to sort that out for you, mate.
It's not great. Ryan, what about your team at the moment then? You say you're a Rangers fan. What are you thinking about that Scottish Cup draw the other night?
Well, obviously, Celtic are the team to beat nowadays. They're unbelievable. I hate to admit it, obviously, but they've got so many good players. Obviously, we've got Wilshere's joined, but hopefully we can kick on next season. But we'll see. It's a hard task, obviously. But obviously, my home team, Falkirk, obviously, they've got Inverness, so hopefully they can go to the final and hopefully beat Celtic if they make it. But hopefully, it'll be a Rangers-Falkirk final.
Is the aim going to be for this next few weeks? Sort of, I mean, you have to meet Celtic again in the league anyway, but playing yourself into form, almost learning from the mistakes that happened in the League Cup final, is that the way you see it? Is there scope there to bridge the gap that we saw on that day?
Aye, so obviously I think myself included, I didn't like the team selection from the off. Obviously Kamara and Lundstrom are in, but obviously definitely Jack and Cantwell will come in. We're asking, hopefully that'll kick them on, a bit more energy in the middle, and I can see that it could be another battle midfield, but hopefully they get it. But obviously Celtic's midfield 3 is unbelievable. They've all got legs, lots of possession, so yeah, it'll be a good game anyway, but just keep mental up and then hopefully we'll crack on from there.
Yeah, it was interesting, Simon. The draw, let's be honest, it's, if you want to start a conspiracy theory, it should be that these teams always get drawn in the semi-final rather than the old one that they get kept apart till the final, because it doesn't really happen. And here we go, semi-final again, just like last season.
Yeah, just like last season. And I think, with no disrespect to other teams, it's the winner takes the cup for me.
I'm really struggling with this because it's in my bones to want to stick up for wee teams at all times. I want to give them the respect and the credit they deserve between now and then, and we should and we will. We'll kind of try. But
I was involved in one with Raith Rovers before somebody calls in. So anything can happen. But I don't see. I think the winner will come from Celtic and Rangers. I have no doubt.
Just tough, Marvin, because we'll put it this way. Even though we were talking about Japan, we suddenly went into this conversation about how no team in the Premiership can get near Celtic or Rangers, and now we're going to perhaps ask a Championship or a League One side to do so. It is possible. That's the bit you hang on to.
Yeah, it's possible. But it's very, very unlikely. But listen, it would be a fantastic day, regardless for whoever gets to the final. One thing I want to actually say, Gordon, do you think the players at Falkirk and Inverness want to draw either Celtic or Rangers, or do you think they'd have preferred?
I was just about to say that. I think they'll be happy with the draw because they have a chance of going to a final.
I know, but do you not look at it and think, wow, we could get knocked out at this stage by Falkirk or by Inverness? And you missed out.
I'm surprised.
Do you know what I mean? Get into the semis. No, do you not think?
I think John McGlynn said they did not.
In terms of, if I'm a player, say I'm at Falkirk and I'm watching that, I'm thinking, right, Celtic or Rangers, perfect at Hampden. And you draw Inverness and you think, imagine we get to the semis and get beat by Inverness. Or the Inverness players thinking the same thing. Imagine getting
him. I think they're thinking the opposite. I think they're thinking fancy their chances against each other.
Yeah.
You're generally the most one of the most positive pundits
we've got.
No, but
I just think
this goes against everything you've built up here.
No, but I think that's just one of those things that and hope to draw one of
Somebody get interviewed after the game for Falkirk.
John McGlynn said it as well. He said,
McGinn said it as well.
Me and Billy Dodds would probably agree we'd have rather played each other.
Because they'll fancy their chances against each other and to get to the final, and then they've got nothing to lose. It's success for them.
Yeah. And
players playing at a National Cup final. It doesn't come about every day of the week.
Yeah, but how heartbreaking it would be to lose at the semis and missing that
always
playing at Celtic Rangers.
Always in the semis, but this gives them the best chance to get to the final.
And the talk last night, and it will peak for a couple of days, then it will simply have to go in the back burner, but it'll always be there because we've got a while to go before the semi-final, Simon. But talk about, as Ryan said, they're from Rangers trying to make up for the last one, trying to perhaps answer the question about about pressure as well. I think most of the callers and the pundits last night were saying, clearly the situation is more vital that Rangers win it because they can't end the season trophyless and all that sort of stuff. But Celtic, I'm sure, will be equally as focused on trying to chase down a treble.
Yeah, both have got huge things to play for. I would say, Rangers, it's looking like their only chance of silverware. But again, Celtic, they'll not say it publicly, but they'll be looking for their treble. And I think if I'm a Rangers player, I want this game to come round quite quickly after the last game at Hampden, because as Ryan touched on there, I think Rangers fans' complaint was the team selection. I thought Celtic deserved it on the day without performing at their best. So if I was a Rangers player, I'd want this game quickly. So it's an opportunity for them to go and try and reprieve or take something from the last game and gain revenge on Celtic. But I think it's a big game for both teams.
Yeah, and I definitely believe the Rangers players that they can do so, like Simon's saying, kind of right and the wrongs from the last game. And, it comes around at the end of April, that game is. So everyone will be chomping at the bit to be playing in that game. And Michael Beale would have learnt a lot as well. As a manager, obviously he would evolve from the last time and playing against Celtic, and he'd probably come up with a different game plan. And as Ryan's been saying, probably changed the midfield about a bit as well. But again, for me, it's a 50-50 game. I know that people are talking about the gap and all this stuff. I get it, in the league table there's a gap, but I still think on any given day, I'm not surprised if either of them beat each other, and I won't be at the semi-final either.
And the beauty of it is they do meet in the league before then, so there is the chance for this conversation to be completely different.
Yeah.
If Rangers go and turn Celtic over at Celtic Park,
Yeah.
Then the feeling is much different, and of course the possibility remains.
If Rangers get to turn Celtic over at Celtic Park, the league becomes, again. So they're big games.
And of course, Celtic have had their way with Rangers at Celtic Park on a couple of occasions recently. So if that happens again, you end up going into the semi-final if you're a Rangers fan, absolutely dreading it. So it's going to be a fascinating build-up. Six times they'll meet this season.
Yeah, I heard you saying that last night on the show. Listen, these are the big ones that they all want to play in. The next one's at Celtic Park, where you would think Celtic will have the advantage of home territory. And it does, it will influence what happens at the end of the month, you know, depending on what happens in this game. So really interesting.
0141 951 1025, pick up the phone please. Kevin's in Castle Milk. What's your point tonight, Kevin?
How's you doing, lads?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. My point is, I'm actually quite glad that the two Japanese boys haven't made the squad. We've got a lot of important games coming up, and with Kyogo carrying that niggly kind of shoulder injury, the last thing we would have needed is for him to go away in international duty, no play, end up getting injured, some freak injury at training, and it could have put him out for the rest of the season. So I'm glad that they're staying here.
Yeah, do you think, does there ever become a point where you would sort of be annoyed for them, or want them to go and play, want them to get that exposure, experience, all the stuff that, you know, I don't know if you heard it, Simon was talking earlier about how, you know, playing for your country can actually make you a better player for, you know, for your club. Is it just right now that you're happy? I mean, if they were to continue to be overlooked for squads, would that annoy you, or?
Listen, I think the two of their times will come. Hatate's the best midfielder in Scotland by a country mile, and he's still young. His time for the international scene will come. Kyogo, all he can do is keep scoring. If he doesn't get picked, then I would like us to look at the guy who's playing in front of him.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And Ange Postecoglou likes his Japanese football, so why not? Should just sign that guy.
Makes sense, Kevin, the scout then. Exactly that. Glass half full kind of guy. No, listen, I understand what Kevin's saying. I think as a football fan, you'd always prefer your players, especially your big players, to stay. We were speaking more of a personal level, weren't we? Especially mm-hmm. Simon, who's experienced it himself. But no, definitely as a football fan, you want them to stay here. But they're, again, you know, as I said, there'll be that slight disappointment within them.
I wonder, I don't know then, is this a big club, small club thing? I don't know, because if you allow me my personal biases, that like would never cross my mind. If, and yeah, I hear you all laughing, I know not many Motherwell players get called up to international football, fine, whatever. But Stephen O'Donnell did many times, and there are others, and it genuinely would not cross my mind about injuries or whatever. It would always be like, well, this is good because it's going to boost their profile, and they might be better players.
I think the difference is, like you're saying, without being disrespectful, probably only Celtic and Rangers are actually aiming to win things, or in the race to kind of
so
win
it's all
things.
Meaningless it's games of... at the end of the season for a team like Motherwell.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you're more delighted. Celtic and Rangers, you know, plenty of international players have came through there, and they have currently in their squad, so they look at it slightly differently. I was the same. Listen, if a Hibs player got called up to an international team, you're absolutely delighted for him. I played with John McGinn, and he was getting called up, and you're absolutely buzzing for your teammate. But if I'm a Celtic player, I'm probably thinking, right, Kyogo's staying, Hatate's doing the same, puts us in a better place.
Spoiled, yeah. Drawn.
Listen,
that's
think,
what it is. You're spoiled.
I think Kevin's come on and said that he's not entirely fussed, but I think still Kevin would look at the likes of Maeda and Moy at the World Cup with a wee kind of sense of pride because they're Celtic players.
Sure.
You know, so it's a balance between the two, but I agree with him there. I think their time will come. I think Hatate keeps improving. It will be impossible to ignore him. And Kyogo's sitting on 26 goals. If he stays fit, he'll surpass 30 goals this season. I don't think that can be ignored either.
The comment there about, you know, the Japan manager made, Kevin, about the standard of the league, is that something you pay much attention to?
Nah, see, everybody seems to have a pop at the Scottish game. They don't actually know how hard it is until they come up here. You hear all the English players that come up here, before they come up, they'll have their wee fly dig. But then when they come up, some of them can't hack it. Look at Joey Barton. He was going to come up here and boss Scott Brown. He went back down the road with his tail between his legs quicker than you could say Celtic are the champions. So it doesn't bother me what people say.
Some people come up here and fall in love with it and we adopt them. Do you know what I mean? Marvin.
Can't get rid of me.
Thank you very much to Kevin in Castle Milk. 0141 951 1025. Why not give us a call right now and we'll try and get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025, and you can tweet the show at Clyde SSB. So please do get in touch
tonight. Grant McIver, I know sometimes the pronunciation's a bit different, forgive me Grant, I'll just hedge my bets and say both. In the Champions League era, this is your full time teaser. So Grant has sent it into fulltime at Clyde1.com. Grant says, in the Champions League era, 10 goalkeepers have kept a clean sheet for a Scottish club. Can you name them? So in the Champions League era, 10 goalkeepers have kept a clean sheet for a Scottish club. He says it's the group stage onwards, so not the not the sort of qualification rounds.
Dave Marshall.
Yes. Against just out of curiosity. No, that wasn't the Champions League.
McGregor.
Shakhtar. Apparently it was. Really? Shakhtar Donetsk. Right, hold on, let me write that down just to keep note. Okay, it's not like you two to fly in with some correct answers, so I'm stunned.
Caught you unawares there.
Wow. Absolutely stunned. It's an easy question though, thanks to Grant for sending it. Can you name, in the Champions League era, 10 goalkeepers who've kept a clean sheet for a Scottish club, group stage onward? So you've gone David Marshall, you're giving me
McGregor.
Yes, he did it against Bursaspor.
About to tell you that.
I'm sure you were. I'll take one more guess to maybe kick us off. Oh, you've gone early, both of you.
I both went early.
Alright, I'll give you thinking
time. Fraser Foster.
Yes, against Benfica, a 0-0 draw.
Wow.
Alright, we'll leave
Saw you're heavy, you're on my back, mate. I'm carrying you again.
The Leipzig keeper doesn't need to worry about keeping clean sheets, does he? I mean, honestly. Jesus. What about? I know we don't always talk about that sort of stuff, but how can you not at least give a passing mention to a guy that scores 5 goals in one Champions League game? What was it, within 35 minutes?
Yeah.
A 35 minute spell?
Frightening. Honestly. See if you can make a player on like a football game. That's him, isn't it? Like, it's unreal watching him.
Ivan Drago of football.
Yeah. Absolutely frightening. So young as well. Is he 22?
Can you believe he was getting a wee bit of stick about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Man said they are worse off with him and stuff like that.
Like, how? Like, how? Possibly.
What is it again? What's the number for the season?
39?
Yeah.
He was getting a bit of stick.
Oh, Champions League's rubbish though. It's not a very good standard.
And here's the thing. He's in Scotland's group for the Euro qualifiers. I honestly don't think enough has been made of this, genuinely, right? I know people pointed it out at the time, but what sort of footballing god out there allows Scotland to improve to a level where they're the second seeded team in a group, right? We've not been there in ages.
Yeah.
The second seeded team. And below that, we have to face that freak and the best player in Serie A. The Georgian fella, because his name is difficult.
You're not going to pronounce it?
Chvarach Kela, something like that, is it? Something along those lines.
What a difficult
So we get him as well?
Yes. From the pots below.
It's typical Scotland.
Where is the justice in this world?
It's going to be tough, isn't it? Let's put it. But get to enjoy him, though. Get to enjoy watching him.
Yeah, easy for you to say. You're just the adopted.
Nah,
Scott.
I'm going to wear my kilt.
I'll have my hands over the front of my eyes. But seriously, both of them in the group, in the teams that are seeded below you.
So what you're going to do, play against the best. Hope you can produce some more players.
They're seeded below us for a reason.
Exactly. There's a reason they're down there, Gordon.
I don't think he's as prolific for Norway.
Oh, good. Aye. That helps. We'll just get the four goals.
Doesn't get
then.
The ball.
Famous last words.
I can't wait to see him play, by the way.
You wouldn't be, would you, without your Man City pals, but still. I mean, come on.
Oh, honestly. It's going to be. Be good though. We can handle him.
He's not come up against Grant Hanley or Ryan Portis. That's the way I look at it.
That's exactly it. So you're starting those two, are you? Wow.
It was just the first names that came to my head, to be quite honest. Anyway, thanks again to Grant for sending that teaser in. So it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. We'll keep that bubbling away between now and the end of the show. If you want to submit your questions for future use, please do. You know what I'm noticing a lot at the moment? Must be in a run of good questions. As soon as the show finishes or the next morning, I'm getting somebody in the DMs saying, oh, go and send me the answers, because the boys at work are trying it. The boys in the van, and Andy Halliday passes them around the Hearts dressing room. You could do that, a bit of team bonding down at Queen of the South.
Yeah, I'll give that a go.
All the players would be better than you at it. So that would be the...
Do you think?
Yeah,
I think I'm quite good. I'd be better than my co-pundit tonight. That's for sure.
I've got a couple of...
We'll get there. We'll get there between now and the end of the show. I'm certain of it. Who would have thought that players not being called up for Japan would have such a dominant impact on the show? But here we are. Tam is in Inverness. Take it away, Tam.
How you doing? Are you all right, boys?
Good, good. How are you?
Listen, I've just been thinking about this, and I think Kyogo will be better for it. But I'll tell you, he's got to shoulder a wee bit of the responsibility for this, because he should have scored 3 or 4 goals in our Champions League campaign. And see if he did. Do you think he would have been in that Japan squad? Because I do.
For the World Cup?
For these games.
For these games. Possibly. Possibly.
He did
have a couple of chances in the Champions League. I think Celtic.
Yeah.
You know, missed a few chances. I think that kind of killed him in the end. You know, creating chances and not taking him at that level. But maybe. But you go back to the calibre of goal that he scores and the movement.
To be fair, I can see Tam's point, but...
Yeah,
it would obviously boost his chances, Marvin. I'm kind of glad that...
Maeda missed one against Real Madrid, though.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Just after the break.
I'm glad just for sort of balance, because Tam's a Celtic fan, and he's brought that up, because I wouldn't want it to come across that we all think that Hatate and Kyogo are perfect and they're the finished article, and it is unbelievable that they've not been called up, because they might internally just think, okay, that's fair, I can actually do a bit more, I need to add a bit more to my game. That might be the case. And Kyogo's case would be stronger. Take Simon's point, he's got a strong case already, he's scoring a lot of goals. Obviously it would be stronger if he'd scored a couple in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think their mindset will be that, you know, maybe I can do a little bit more. You know, but again, he's still getting in these positions to miss these chances. It sounds silly, but, you know, strikers still get in the right position. So, and he's doing it at Champions League level, so I get what Tam is saying. Definitely if he puts him in the back of the net, you know, his case is a lot stronger. But then on the flip side of that, he's saying he's probably getting 1 or 2 chances in the Champions League, and his movement's still getting him into these positions. So there's still a positive to come from it. But no, listen, like you said, Tam is a Celtic fan. He makes an extremely good point about, you know, if he does score them, then, you know, maybe it's a slightly different argument. I don't think it would have made any difference, personally. I just don't think he would have put them in, because...
No, those
comments, like, no. I just don't.
You do, Tam, I take it.
So do you feel with the comments that you can't change this guy's mind?
No.
He scores 40?
No. I don't think, no matter how many goals he scores, he's going to get in there. I think because Maeda, the way he is and the way he plays the game, he's such a, you know, there's a rare profile that he has. I just think that's the reason he's in there.
What do you think, Tam?
I think if Kyogo takes the chances, then we progress in the Champions League, and that bigs our league up even more. I mean, I know this is Ange Postecoglou's first season at the Champions League, and I think he will make improvements, but your other previous caller there that was saying he's never seen the standard so low. By the way, I was in the army in the 90s, you know, and Rangers were running Everton. And when Martin O'Neill came in, that was absolutely brilliant. But I'll tell you, I've never seen a Celtic team, and neither has any of the rest of the league. I've never seen a Celtic team attack like this and keep on going for 95 minutes. I've never seen it. And that's how people are thinking, oh, they won 5-1, oh, they're all over them. They just don't, as they say, as Ange says, they don't stop. They just keep on going. I mean, even Brendan Rodgers in his invincible season, I mean, we got 2-0 up. They were just passing about in their own half. But not this manager. He demands that they go forward. And that's what's not bringing our league down. That's what makes outsiders think that it isn't very good, because Celtic have got 85% possession. It's because they can't get it off them.
So you think Celtic have raised their bar rather than the other teams dramatically, you know, lowering their standards?
I don't think... there's no doubt about that. I know Hibs and Hearts and Aberdeen have had their problems, but when you're coming up against an Ange Postecoglou team, as I say, they don't stop and they just keep on going. There's no rest periods. There's nothing like that. They just want to score from the first minute to then. And I've never seen that with a Celtic team before. Never.
Simon, you've seen a lot of Celtic teams. You've been part of them. Is that something you recognise?
Yeah, it's a fair point Tam's making. This is a team where, since Ange came in, and I go back to last year when I think they won back-to-back 6-0s at Celtic Park, and I seen him out his dugout at 6-0, pushing Celtic to go and get the seventh goal, and I love the attitude, and it's not changed in the year and a half or the two seasons that he's been here. They go out and they attack from the first minute and try and score and entertain, and they're exciting to watch. You can go back years and argue, as I touched on earlier on, somebody said to me, he reckons it was the strongest squad that he's seen in his time. He's about my age, so it's a fair statement. I'm not entirely sure if I agree with it, because I say Martin O'Neill's squad was strong. I played with some good players, but I think Martin O'Neill's squad was very strong too. It's hard to kind of compare that over here, but what I will say for Ange's team, since he's come in the door at Celtic, it's exciting, it's fast, it's full of energy, it's full of goals. It's really good to watch.
Yeah, and you know, the 8 or 9 years I've been here, obviously.
Well, I was going to say, because you've played in this time, more recent times, so how do you feel about it?
I think this is the best team. I think definitely the way they go forward. You know, I really enjoyed the Rangers team under Gerrard. I think the season before they actually won the league, and you know, the rotations and all that sort of stuff with them. But I think as an attacking team, I think the Celtic team is the best that I've seen since I've been up here.
I think Tam makes a good point as well, because Brendan Rodgers' team would get to two, maybe three, and then it would take a few.
They wouldn't embarrass you, would they? Yeah, they would keep it.
This team, and this is what I like, this is the way I believe football should be played. Mm-hmm. Go and go for the jugular, entertain, score as many goals as you can.
Speaking of different eras, have you seen this? 25 years to the day, Marvin Bartley. Celtic won.
Black and white.
Dundee United won. 25 years to the day. What about this for a finish from the man to your right? I noticed it popping up on Twitter.
Video type. Nice.
Earlier on, Simon Donnelly.
VHS.
25 That's a cross. Years to the day.
That was a cross, definitely. Back
outside
across the face of
the
it. That was tremendous, by the way. Wow.
We only do one each, right enough.
Really? What year was that?
See, standard was lower.
1997.
No, it's 97.
That's 25 years ago. 98. Yeah.
Was it?
25 years ago.
Famous season.
How old are you then, Ty?
40.
Early 20s. Early 20s.
Thank you very much to Tam from Inverness. This is interesting because Paul is on the line, and I think actually, Paul, your point might kind of feed in perfectly to this talk about different standards and gaps and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, I hope the boy Brian, I'm calling him the life of Brian, I hope he doesn't win the comedy club tickets in the restaurant to Glasgow, because he'll be saying that comedy is not where it should be, and Andy McCartney's restaurant's something where you should be. But anyway, quick plug there for Andy. But no, I mean, absolutely. I think my Celtic supporting friends keep saying don't be careful what you wish for. But I think the biggest thing is the five sub rule in terms of the disparity between Celtic and Rangers and other squads. But I'm going to rhyme off four or five good news stories to you. The Darvo guy, the pie guy down there, Dave Cormack trying to get games on a Saturday night, Wally Hawkey recruiting the AZ Alkmaar guy at Queen's Park. Who was the other one? The United guys, the American ownership's not going well. Your own Alan Burrows and the job he's done at Motherwell. I think Scottish football is in absolutely fantastic health, and it's feeding through into the national team. So I think he's maybe hurting a little bit the pedestal that Postecoglou, which maybe there's a new phrase for you, Postecoglou's pedestal, is totally warranted. I mean, Celtic held Real Madrid for 70 minutes. As a man said, if Kyogo puts his chances away, I could go on. But you know, the wider point is there's loads of good news stories. And secondly, the five sub rule is in my mind a little bit unfair to the lesser teams.
I'm interested in that one because
good point.
We'll never know. I don't know if it would be as devastating if you took it away, but you can't really argue that, you know.
They voted for it, though.
Exactly. And you just wonder now if they would regret that. Celtic, the Ange Postecoglou era is sort of kicking off at a time when you can make five subs, and it certainly isn't helping the issue.
It really is a good point Paul makes there, and that maybe goes back to the person earlier in the week saying about the squad, because more of the squad's getting used game to game, and it's definitely a theme in Celtic's armoury, where you know, they get to that 60-65 and they can bring 3, 4, 5 players on and the levels don't drop.
Yeah.
You know, you can, from midfield to front, you can probably replace the six. And the levels don't drop.
I guess it would probably be, what would the thought process have been? Right, it does give Celtic and Rangers an advantage, but everyone always says that your season isn't defined against them anyway, and if you're Motherwell against St Mirren or you're Livy against Ross County, then you want to make your five subs as well. So that's presumably why they've voted for it. But certainly on those head-to-head days, it's so striking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is massively striking. You know, and listen, Ange has built his squad knowing that they were the rules kind of thing. So, you know, Rangers will be the same, building a bigger squad, Aberdeen, etc. I don't understand why, say, the lesser clubs, teams outside of Celtic and Rangers voted for it, if I'm honest. You know, it didn't make much sense to me. I would have been against it. But listen, the rule is the rule. It allows, as Simon said there, Ange to freshen up his team. You know, Rangers do the same thing. And listen, it makes a better football. It really does. You know, bringing on those five players full of energy, wanting to score more goals, because you get onto the pitch, you want to impact it in a positive way. So I'm all for it, if I'm honest.
Tell that to the fans of the other teams. Thanks, Paul. I think that was a really good point, though, Paul. It's an interesting one. We'll keep an eye on some of the other good feel-good stories that you brought up. That was Paul from Carluke. How are you two doing on this teaser tonight? We're looking for, in the Champions League era, 10 goalies have kept a clean sheet in the group stages onwards for a Scottish club. You've given me Forster, Marshall and McGregor.
Boric
did it against Aalborg, was the last time, I think. Yep.
I've got no more. I've been caught up in the callers.
Craig Gordon.
Yeah, Anderlecht, 3-0 away, I think that was, wasn't it? Yep.
Come on, big man.
Okay, I'll give you some more thinking time. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly. Right, the full time teaser. I've got to come clean about something, right? No, it's not one of them. Don't worry. It's not, I'm not going to add on loads of answers. Nothing like that. But Grant sent you a question tonight. Grant's question says, in the Champions League era, 10 goalkeepers have kept a clean sheet for a Scottish club from the group stages onwards. And it's all pretty good. You know, we checked the names and they all stand up. So we actually did do a bit of homework on it. The only problem is, what none of us realised, Grant might have said 10, but there's only 9 on his list. So it's an even easier, look, it's better that than us having to add
over
mystery names
there.
On.
Of course.
So you've given me Fraser Forster, did it against Benfica way back in 2012. You've given me David Marshall, Shakhtar Donetsk. You've given me Alan McGregor against Bursaspor, Artur Boric. You don't need to tell me the opponent, by the way. And Craig Gordon was the most recent, I think, 2017, against Anderlecht. A great 3-0 victory.
He was the most recent.
Yeah, I would say. Well, put it this way, the teams took a bit of a break from the Champions League. Yeah, and in case you hadn't noticed, there were no clean sheets this season.
How far back are we going?
Well, the Champions League era is what the question says, so it could be anywhere across that.
Is there anything really far back?
There is one in particular that goes to the far reaches of the Champions League era. But with that, I think that will help you, really.
Help who?
Well, both of
you. Andy Gorham?
Yes, there we are.
Andy Gorham.
I was just about to explain it, you know, because if you're talking early Champions League, it's more likely to have been Rangers. And in terms of Rangers goalies at that time, well, there's one standout, Andy Gordon. Would that mean you've only got, is it
three?
Well, depending on what, how many you're going to add, Gordon.
We think it's three between now and the end of the show, so I'll give you some more time.
More clues. Forget the time, more clues.
Possibly. Oh, it got so tense on the teaser last week. Last night's was good as well. Really good.
For the Caps last week
it was tough. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So you'll have missed this because you were away sunning yourself or whatever. But I know you're a big golf fan.
Yeah.
I know you're not, but I know
I know where that place was though.
I know your partner is a big golf fan, so this speaks volumes. Someone, a journalist who's heading off to Augusta,
right,
the Masters, sent the question in.
Right.
And the deal was that if they could get all four without clues, they were Wilson and DL were getting Augusta caps brought back.
I thought you were going to say an invite.
Oh, behave, come on. And they got three, squished it. And they just couldn't quite, they needed a clue for the four, so they're done. Yeah. They just need to.
Yeah, you better bring the caps back.
They just need to settle for their memorabilia from elsewhere.
Yes, exactly.
Serves them right, actually.
I've got some memorabilia. I've got like a,
From Augusta.
Yeah, what's the thing you put next to the ball?
A ball marker.
Yeah.
What use is that to you?
The thing you put beside the ball.
Yeah. What do you mean, what is it to me? Heads or tails with it?
Honestly, you got the driving range, something. You don't need a ball marker. I've got
a t-shirt.
Do you?
Yeah. And a towel.
Spoiled rotten.
Huh?
Ailey was there.
Yeah.
Is she going this year?
I actually don't know.
You don't know? It's like next month.
Oh, I'll look at the calendar next week and see.
Like the holy grail of Mel Outbus.
Does that not pain you? Because you're a golf fan. This.
Well, I'm going to take
wasted
it to
on him.
Disinterested.
It's wasted on him.
What do you do with your Augusta towel? Does it get used?
It's just there. It's for my, obviously for my golf bag, so I've not been out on the course yet.
Your t-shirt. How bad's that going to be that when he plays his first ever game of golf, he wears an Augusta. T-shirt, yeah. Ball marker, and you're spoiled, Ron. Anyway, we went off on a bit of a tangent there. There are no prizes other than pride on the Beat the Pundit, on the full-time teaser circuit tonight. So that's what you've got to look forward to. Look, sometimes in the middle of the week it can kind of get a little bit quiet. I don't think there are many stories from today in Scottish football that we've neglected. The one thing I would say, the one manager that spoke today would be Barry Robson, saying all the sort of usual things about keeping his focus on the team amid the search for the new manager. Says he's not been thinking about long term because he's going game to game. Mm-hmm. You would expect some of that stuff. And the club's made it clear they're going to take their time. You can imagine me, I'm preparing this week. I'm not really chatting to the board about that stuff. So the Aberdeen one's interesting because usually I feel like now we're very impatient. Managerial appointments seem to be getting made quicker and quicker, but that's not the case there.
Yeah, and I thought with kind of the time that's gone past that they would have maybe said that he's going to have it to the end of the season because, you know, it's gone on a little bit. I didn't actually know that they were still searching for manager because I always thought he would at some point be confirmed as the interim until the end of the season. But as he said, that's all he can do, isn't it? Day to day, game to game. Obviously, you know, he said that he wants the job. There'll be plenty of people that want that job because it's a big club and a very good job. But at this moment in time, he's doing well, got them back into the top six. And, you know, they're trying to catch hearts rather than looking over their shoulder at St Mirren.
Yeah, is that part of it, Simon, that, you know, is going fine? If the interim period's a disaster, you might be thinking, we need to fix this. Or you've got someone that's a real stopgap. Or maybe even it's you know, exacerbated more when you're down the bottom of the league. Mm. Can you understand Aberdeen taking time?
Yeah, I think it's refreshing as well. As you say, we're used to knee-jerk reactions and quick decisions in football. They've gave Barry the chance to come in. He's moving in the right direction. I'm looking at the fixtures here. Big game at the weekend at home to Hearts. But yeah, if he keeps going well, you know, he will be well in the run for that job.
Yeah, some big fixtures at the weekend. I mean, it is only Wednesday night. It's maybe a bit early to give them the full attention, but considering we're at the end of the show, I'm sure a passing glance won't harm anyone. Marvin, what a way to come back after a break, if you like, for the Scottish Cup, because it's obviously the stage of the Cup where the break's significant because there are no Premiership games.
Yeah,
or there weren't last weekend. What a weekend it's going to be.
Yeah, it's a brilliant card, like you said. You know, with all the teams playing on a Saturday as well, absolutely fantastic. Starting with the Motherwell, the Rangers game, and Celtic Hibs as well. You know, I wonder if Hibs are going to go at them again because they did it against Rangers. Obviously, you know, got picked off. I think it was 4-1 in the end. But going to Celtic Park and having those same sort of tactics is a very, very different kettle of fish. But I think the Hibs fans demand it. And that's probably the worry for Lee Johnson, you know, try and find a happy medium. But if you go to Celtic and concede early, you're in massive, massive trouble. But I don't think they can go there and sit behind the ball, if I'm honest.
Actually, it reminds me this time last week, we were building up to those fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
No, 2 weeks ago.
Oh my goodness, it seems like
Simon was away.
A long time. And I asked you specifically on that. I mean, if you're Hibs, right, you've got all this confidence and all this momentum and you're at home and you want to do the right thing, but you've also like actually heard Michael Beale publicly say that you hope Hibs come out against you and
very
then you go
clever.
And do it and then Rangers wipe the floor because of this gap.
Yeah, very clever though, because Hibs fans demand that. You know, I've been there. They don't, if it's Celtic Rangers, they want to go and attack. And a lot of them do say they'd rather lose trying to attack than sit behind the ball.
Especially at home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
You watched the game with Aberdeen just after the World Cup.
Yeah.
Sitting in at home against Celtic.
Yeah.
And McGregor scores.
Do you think it may be different this weekend with it being in Glasgow?
I think they've only got one way of going, and that's what the fans want to see. They want to see them go and attack. Listen, if we lose, we lose. Let's be honest, sitting behind the ball against Celtic doesn't guarantee you anything.
I'm going to ruin your night here.
Oh, there's only eight.
No, there's ten. There's ten.
What's going on here?
I think, well, clearly Grant knew there was 10 and he just forgot to put them all
down. We just got to give you 9. If we give you 9
so looking
of the 10.
For a couple of other goalies who've kept a clean sheet for a Scottish club in the Champions League. I mean, some of them pretty well known. Right, start with Rangers. You're going to need clues, you
nah,
two.
No, wait. Hurry I up, remember a goalkeeper. How long have I got? Oh, I need to speak to Simon quickly.
You look as if you know.
Yeah, was he German?
Yes.
Klaus.
Yes, good. Right, okay. See, excellent.
Just set it up and I'll finish it.
There you go.
So is that 3 to get?
Well, it depends. Well, I don't know what game we're playing. I don't know how many
three.
There is.
I think it's 3.
And they're 3 to get.
1 Rangers, 2 Celtic. I think you should get definitely one of the Celtic ones, Simon, I must say.
Celtic.
Ooh. Right, so what about Martin O'Neill's era?
Rob Douglas.
Yes. He'll not forgive you
Big
for
Rab.
Missing that one.
Sorry,
out.
Sorry, Rob, if you're listening.
Now, similar era, but again, didn't play as often, but did keep a Champions League clean sheet.
Celtic.
Mm-hmm. It was, if this is in any way going to help you.
The boy that came for Dundee? No.
Did a couple of times, actually. No. Played down south. Swedish.
Hedman.
Magnus Hedman.
Oh, did it twice. He was at Coventry, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
So one Rangers to go.
Yeah, and it's probably the toughest. He did it against Armenia in 2005.
Nationality.
Dutch.
Mars before me.
Vateris.
Yes.
Oh,
there we go. Ronald
I've never
Vateris.
Heard of him.
You Simon, coming,
well
you coming to the table?
That's why do I set you up three years ago?
You got an assist.
Yeah, exactly. You get the move. You're the striker. Perfect.
Thank you, Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley. And thank you for your calls tonight. The winner of the tickets to the Comedy Festival is Ryan, I believe. Ryan from Falkirk. Well done, Ryan. Enjoy your night on us. We'll do that again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tweeting. Thanks for all the other calls. Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson back tomorrow. And Callum Gallagher up next.